Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And our great friend Chase McCabe has been down at SEC Media Days in Hoover this week, providing some great coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And yesterday, Chase caught up with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey about a whole lot of interesting things going on right now in the SEC, including what some future events in the city of Nashville could look like. Here was that conversation between our own Chase McCabe and SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey.
We're back here, SEC Media Days, all presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe with the Commissioner Greg Sankey of the Southeastern Conference. And Commissioner, it is certainly a pleasure to be here in person and see this again. You talked about times they are changing in your opening address yesterday and weaved that in and out with the ever-changing landscape of college football. But how far have we come in the last 15 months getting through this virus, the social issues, and now rule changes as well?
Well, it's been busy, and you go back to March 11th, 12th, and 13th while we were in Nashville trying to figure out really how to play a tournament, and then to play a tournament without fans, and then to not play a tournament, not to mention stopping everything, which was really unimaginable. And then separate from the social issues, the legal issues, the legislative issues, just the weight of dealing with COVID, how to restart, how to continue forward, how to begin when a team may have to stop, and how to do that outdoors and indoors with 21 sports was a huge load. That's reality. And to have everything else added, you know, the pace has really accelerated. And we've been busy before, but the last 15, 16 months have been a whole other level.
You made it a point to bring up, and you were asked about it, the scheduling, that this year you want everybody to play their schedules. There's not really a build-in for any type of realignment or rescheduling if need be. And you brought up vaccinations and how they are readily available to get. How important is it for the student athletes, the coaches, to heed that advice so you can get a full season in?
Well, it's highly important. And you know, you start from the position that the production of the vaccines, multiple vaccine options, is an incredible product of scientific work. And the vaccines are effective. They prevent serious illness, most hospitalizations, reduce the spread. Not perfect. You know, I don't know of any vaccine that actually is like 100% without issue or efficacy might vary a little bit, but the reality is they're highly effective. But you have to access the vaccine. And so I look at our teams, the global part of teams, players, coaches, support staff members, do all this work to prepare for the season, weightlifting, spring practice, off-season conditioning, finish the drill, access the vaccine, which reduces the likelihood of disruption. Now, it appears we're going to have to consider, you know, some of the mitigation factors, just being careful about hygiene still to prevent spread. But the vaccine's a central component, and now's the time to access the vaccine ahead of the season.
Commissioner Greg Sankey is here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Name, image, and likeness, of course, is another thing that has come into play. And this is not a surprise to anybody. It's been building for a long time. But you brought up that, you know, right now there's uncertainty with it. Like, what's the regulations? And you'd like to see more of a congressional input on that. What needs to happen? When does this need to happen? How quickly does this need to happen to do this effectively?
Well, in a time of uncertainty, what people need is clarity. So one of the advantages is we can at least turn to state law. So in the state of Tennessee, what law has Tennessee adopted to govern name, image, and likeness? one of the fundamental problems, though, is if you're a high school senior looking to attend maybe Tennessee, maybe Kentucky, maybe Georgia, maybe Penn State, maybe Kansas, you know, this whole range, you have to know the NLI laws in each of those states. I mean, that's just not fair to a young person. Help them evaluate their opportunities based on a common standard. And what the courts have said is the NCAA cannot overregulate. I think it was also problematic for the NCAA to adopt a set of rules that would have been in conflict with state laws, because you would have a set of legal issues or circumstances that would have had to have been resolved that seemed unresolvable. And so you end up looking to Congress saying, our student athletes, first and foremost, our prospective student athletes, deserve a consistent national standard. And I know there's a lot going on in Congress. They're spending not millions, not billions, but trillions of dollars in considering that, or dealing with election laws or whatever. At the same time, college sports is special and important. And I don't know that Congress will act. I know there's a need for a national standard to help young people understand how to properly activate across the country and know that the people they're competing against on the other side of the line of scrimmage or in the other uniforms have that same opportunity but have the same structure for their activity.
A lot of schools have brought people in to help educate, and I know that that's something that Coach Heupel of Tennessee said earlier today about that we're all about the education. Coach Smart said it as well. But do you believe it's the responsibility of the programs to educate these students that they may not have that same education at home of how to handle their finances, know who to trust, and know where to look?
Our campuses have been in the financial literacy education effort for years. So that's not new. The name, image, and likeness, the specific economic activity is new. And in part, the answer is embedded in what the state law permits or requires. I think our schools are fully prepared to engage in that education. They don't want to see young people taken advantage of in this process. And some of that's done with outside firms. But understand, there are a whole bunch of businesses that have been created around this activity. Not every one of those businesses is properly capitalized. There's no oversight. There may be some level of law, but that doesn't mean there's oversight. And so there's risks of exploitation. And we have examples, for example, in NASCAR, where people have given away or signed away some of their rights to access a ride in a car. And then they can't sign their autograph without money going someplace else. We don't want that in college athletics. For all the criticism about colleges exploiting young people, provide great support, great educations, and you walk away with your name, image, and likeness rights. That's not so clear right now. And we have to be attentive to that. So the education is paramount, but also a structure that provides the right kind of protection for those involved, particularly the student athlete who's signing agreements or being approached to sign agreements.
College sports, there's something special about it, whether it's football, basketball, softball, baseball. It just, there is something different. But that line between collegiate sports and professional sports continues to get blurred because of name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal acting similar to free agency. How important is it to try and preserve what's special about college sports?
I think it's critically important, and we have to have a national conversation among leaders regarding what is expected of college sports. I think the NFL is an incredible product. The NBA is an incredible product. Major League Baseball is an incredible product. The NHL, even though we don't have hockey. That's not college football. That's not college basketball. And that's not college baseball. And one could argue, by comparison, if we're just going to be professionals at a different level, that's a pretty poor comparison. It's just a different world. Those are pros. Talk to coaches who've moved from college to the NBA. Those men in the NBA are professional athletes. Here we have college students playing, highly talented. They want futures. But we're going to have to understand what we expect of our college programs for provision to our student athletes, what we expect of student athletes in this new world, and how we define college sports so that we continue to have the interest that makes it special.
This event is going to be coming to Nashville. Nashville is very important to the conference. Obviously, the basketball tournament takes place there. When there's this discussion of college football playoff expansion. Where do you think Nashville falls into play as a potential for, you know, any type of round in that?
It remains to be seen what happens with the college football playoff. So a format that includes expansion to 12 teams has been identified. That doesn't mean the college football playoff will move to 12 teams. That remains to be seen. And then it depends on when it happens, and we haven't even begun to think about, okay, where, if we're outside the current 12-year agreement, where might games be played? I think facilities, community support are important. You know, we're playing this year's national championship game in Indianapolis. Those stand separate from the bowl structures, depending on what the facility vision is long-term in Nashville. That may open up an opportunity, but a lot of that where work is going to follow the if and then the when and then the what when you get to the where.
Why is Nashville so important to the SEC?
Well, it's just north of our literal geographic center, but it is a dynamic city, one of the many dynamic cities. But you've seen this incredible growth in Nashville that has provided facilities, provided a populace and an incredible alumni base of ours located in Nashville. Obviously, Vanderbilt's right there. Knoxville's a couple hours away. Easy access for every one of our teams. So you think about a basketball tournament, you know, it's a highly accessible city from within our footprint. There's plenty to do, a lot of fun in a positive way, a lot of history around the city, around sports, and there's a vibrancy. And when we were moving our men's basketball tournament around to individual sites for years, one of our presidents said we'd been in a city and there wasn't any buzz. And our president said that, there's no buzz. And so worked with Sean Henry, Scott Ramsey, the city mayor at the time, and just said, hey, what could we come here as kind of a primary base? So like 3 out of 4 years is what worked. And just an incredible amount of work on the city's part, on the sports council's part, on the Predators' part. Just have really appreciated Sean and the spirit of cooperation we have there. And I tell you what, we have buzz around our basketball tournaments. Our women's tournament will be there this year, and then we'll have a little over, 12-year run, I think, with the men's tournament into the mid-30s, potentially. So we're excited about what we've achieved and look forward to Media Days being there in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen you at some Preds games a time or two. Yeah. Always a good time. Commissioner, appreciate the time today. It's good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for making the trip.
That was our own Chase McCabe with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey down in Hoover, Alabama. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Greg Sankey had to say there with Chase and also get to the story of the day yesterday in college football regarding possible expansion once again in the SEC.
Chase, you didn't get Sankey to confirm that Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the SEC, man. Come on.
Should have dug a little deeper there for Chase.
It was right there for you.
We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday night as Nashville SC takes on FC Cincinnati at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And by the way, later this hour, we've got a pretty great opportunity coming up for you. At 7:45, we will do Garth Brooks karaoke here on the show. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to the Garth Brooks concert coming up at Nissan Stadium on July 31st, and we need your participation. If you want to be in the building for the Garth Brooks concert coming up on July 31st at Nissan Stadium, you better get those singing voices ready. Call in at 7:45. We need you to sing a little bit of a Garth Brooks song. It could be whatever song you want. Get those vocal tones ready to go, and our favorite singer will win a pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks participate at Nissan Stadium coming up on July 31st. And if you've never seen Garth Brooks in person before, let me tell you, it's a pretty good time. Whether you're a country music fan or you're not, you will enjoy a Garth Brooks concert, I can guarantee you.
What if someone calls in and they insist on like singing Toby Keith, but they're just far and away better than everybody else? They just blow everybody away.
That's not the rules.
It's got to be Garth Brooks, yeah. Huh? Okay.
Although,
I
do enjoy Toby Keith.
What's Porth's favorite, where like that picture where he's looking up like, I'm at the concert.
That's Eric Church.
Eric Church, yeah, yes, Eric yes. Church. So yeah. You can't sing Eric Church.
Can't
either.
Sing Eric yeah. Church. Right. No Toby Keith. No Miranda Lambert. Garth Brooks.
All right.
So 7:45, get those singing voices ready to possibly win a pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks at Nissan Stadium on July 1st. July 31st. Looking forward to that. Coming up later this hour at 7:45. Joe, it was an interesting day yesterday in the college football world. SEC media days are going on, and typically the big story would be Nick Saban speaking at Alabama. Mike Leach was there yesterday as well, which, by the way, Mike Leach referencing the Tennessee coaching search and his involvement in that, and later calling it a coup d'etat that went on there. It was amazing yesterday. So Mike Leach delivers once again at SEC Media Days.
Glad I didn't get in that coup, he says. fantastic.
The gift that keeps on giving, Mike Leach at Mississippi State. Hopefully he's able to win some games and actually hang around there for a little while. But the big story of the day yesterday is once again possible expansion to the SEC. Now, it's not been that long since Texas A&M and Missouri have entered the fray in the Southeastern Conference, and the rumors swirling yesterday then maybe two other high-profile programs could be joining the SEC. And I believe the first report came from the Houston Chronicle. Brent Zwerneman, the first reporting that potentially Oklahoma and Texas could be added to the SEC. Both Texas and Oklahoma have reached out, apparently, to the SEC about joining the league. Should those two schools choose to leave their home conference of the Big 12, I believe have also informed the Big 12 that they don't intend on extending those rights, which I think for Texas is 2025. Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12's grant of rights agreement expires in 2025. And that was the big story of the day. That took over late in the day at SEC Media Days, took over at ACC Media Days as well, with Dabo Swinney with a big smile on his face saying that maybe the ACC will go try and grab Auburn and Alabama after that. So lots of fun had yesterday regarding possible expansion of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. And Paul Feinbaum had some comments on potential expansion of Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC. Here's what Paul Feinbaum from ESPN had to say yesterday.
How much do you think the SEC would really want Texas and Oklahoma to actually join the conference?
I think they would want them for a couple of reasons. And the first is the most obvious. They don't want them going anywhere else. I mean, the SEC became the biggest guy on the street because they went out and picked very well, and they have such a serious and passionate fan base. But if you're the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, do you want Texas and Oklahoma going to the Big Ten or the ACC or someone else and suddenly start challenging your position as king of the hill? So I think that's a big motivating factor. Another thing is television. I know that sounds strange on a program like this, but the SEC is about to enter into one of the biggest television deals with ESPN. The college football playoff expansion is on the table. So I think the SEC is sitting here. They got the call. They thought about it. And I think this thing is pretty far down the track.
So Feinbaum saying there that he thinks this thing is pretty far down the track as to conversations between the SEC, Texas, and Oklahoma. Joe Rexrode, what do you think about all this? The idea of Texas and Oklahoma potentially joining the SEC at some point down the road?
Yeah, this is a heck of a story, and it's going to be the story, I think, in sports to follow here in the near term. And, you know, Paul Feinbaum right there, there's a guy who knows a lot of people, and he's not alone in saying he thinks this is pretty far down the tracks. I mean, this is pretty clearly the way this all came out. Texas A&M right now, I don't know if it's a Hail Mary, but Texas A&M is trying to get this out there and make it not happen.
Right.
You know, it was a Texas A&M beat writer who had the story for the Houston Chronicle no surprise. You know, Texas A&M, I mean, it comes out just as Jimbo's taking the stage. There's a lot. I mean, A&M wants no part of this. A&M just, you know, A&M loves being in the SEC while Texas isn't. So there's that aspect of it. The Oklahoma part of this is interesting because I from a football perspective, why would you want to do this?
Right.
But remember, because, you know, right now they're lording over the Big 12.
They're just punching their ticket in the college football playoff in the Big 12.
Right. Now, you get to 12, and now all of a sudden you go to the SEC, and, you know, you can go. I mean, you may be in a ridiculous league of programs and way more tough programs to deal with, but you only play so many games. And if you go 9-3 against that schedule with a 12-team playoff, you might get in the playoff. That's what it's about. I mean, that's what it's going to be about. Can you get in the playoff or not? Now, another angle on this, which again goes to Texas A&M trying to undercut this, is let's remember that like the 12-team playoff is not officially a thing yet.
Right.
Okay? So.
Now, there's a lot of momentum for it.
There's a lot of momentum for it.
But it's not officially a thing yet.
But for teams, for programs, for presidents who don't like this, does this kill momentum for it? You know, because basically I think what Texas A&M has done here is say, look at what's about to happen. And, you know, Greg Sankey is trying to load up here with this 12-team playoff as a foregone conclusion. Well, maybe it shouldn't be a foregone conclusion. I'm sure Greg Sankey is very upset about how this has all gone down. Of course, he got asked by somebody on Radio Row, and he was just like, focus on 2021. I was joking about Chase McCabe last segment. By
correct.
The way. No one's getting Greg Sankey to talk about this. But this, lifting the curtain on this before the 12-team playoff is approved, is official, could mess that up, you know? But obviously the money thing here is that's what it's about. You think about an SEC, 16 teams with those programs. They have the new SEC deal, and some of this is seriously feels almost like, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten. Like some, you know, right now the Big Ten has a little bit sweeter TV deal, but the SEC has this ESPN thing coming. But the Big Ten is going to be renegotiating their stuff too, and they'll probably jump back ahead. Well, if this happens, there's going to be no question from a money. If we're just, you know, we're just comparing stacks of cash, the SEC is going to blow them away. Let's also remember that Texas very nearly went to the Pac-12. Big Ten went hard after Texas
yep.
a few years ago. I thought the realignment stuff was kind of dead because the realignment stuff was so much about cable television. I mean, we saw what Jim Delaney did. Ooh, Rutgers. Who gives a crap? Well, it's a TV market. You're forced to pay a tax to watch it. Well, that's not. I mean, the cable subscribers, that's going down by the millions now. It's a different deal. So that stuff, you know, being in certain TV markets isn't as important anymore. But, again, the Big 12. I mean, this obviously would be the death knell of the Big 12.
Oh, for sure. And you're talking about the two preeminent programs in the Big 12. If they make the switch over to the SEC – that's, as you said, I mean, the Big 12 is essentially done at that point, and you've got a super conference in the SEC after that.
So then do you go all super conferences? This was thrown out. I mean, again, it's amazing. Basically, it was 10 years ago, all this expansion mania that have us looking like we look now. Does it become the separate from the NCAA, four 16-team power conferences, and that's that?
Could be.
Could be.
That'd be something. You talk about changes to college football. They're all coming in a hurry right now. We'll continue to get your thoughts when we come back. What do you think of the idea of Texas and Oklahoma potentially joining the SEC? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday night, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Remember, going to have Garth Brooks karaoke coming up at 7:45. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to the Garth Brooks concert at Nissan Stadium coming up on July 31st. And we need to hear your singing voices. Our favorite singer at 7:45 will win a pair of tickets to see the Garth Brooks concert at Nissan Stadium coming up on July 31st. So we'll take your calls for that coming up here in about 12, 13 minutes or so on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Right now, discussing the big news of the day yesterday in college athletics, could Texas and Oklahoma be the next members of the SEC? Paul Feinbaum saying, feels like that conversation is pretty far along, pretty far down the road. Joe, you brought up Texas A&M being in opposition to this, which makes a lot of sense. Texas A&M, one of the things that separates them right now from Texas is playing in the SEC. I wonder if Missouri feels the same way. Obviously, Missouri used to be in the Big 12 as well. They make the move over to the SEC with Texas A&M. My guess would be one of the things that Missouri is using in recruiting is the conference that they play in, and they still recruit in similar areas that they did in the Big 12 as well. My guess would be, and I don't know this, my guess would be Missouri, maybe not quite as opposed to Texas A&M, but still a good chance they would be opposed to this. So that's two schools that could be opposed. You need 11 out of 14 to approve it in order to, for this move to happen in the SEC. How do you think the rest of the schools in the conference could view the additions of Texas and Oklahoma? Obviously, there's money that comes along with it, TV money that comes along with it. There's also, especially in football, and we know that football is king, it's two more pretty good programs you're going to have to deal with at that point as well, and it would bring the conference to 16 teams. How do you think the rest of the conference views a potential addition of Texas and Oklahoma?
I think most will probably view it like, well, if 12's happening and this means that much more money and we're that much stronger than Big Ten teams or ACC teams or whatever, okay. But Kirk Bowles, so right now I've got this, I got the benefit of this Slack channel at the Athletic, so I'm just cherry picking, which it's a lot of people are just putting stuff in from, you know, different sources. Kirk Bowles, one of those sources, awesome American statesman columnist, and he reports that you hit on one of the teams. He said, I'm told, this is a tweet, I'm told Texas A&M and Missouri would be a hard no. So two more needed. And I think you're exactly right. Missouri, like the teams that left to have their special little spot in the SEC, yeah, you people stay,
yeah,
over,
stay
there.
Over there.
Yeah. So you need two more to block the invitation. Now, Dan Wolken replied to that tweet and said, I would think the Mississippis would be a hard no. And maybe, I mean, I think you could make the case. I'm sure every single program right now in the SEC or school in the SEC is weighing this, you know, and I think you'd, okay, show me the what is the numbers difference. I'm sure it's good, though. I'm sure it's strong. Again, this is so, to me, it's not even, you don't even think about this unless, I don't even know if you think about this if you're going to eight. Because again, you're just making it harder from a football perspective.
Right.
You're just making it just way more difficult on everybody in the league.
Or just putting more people in the way of like Alabama's wake of destruction. One of the two.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, at some point, Saban's retiring.
He just signed a contract extension, man. He's not going anywhere for a while.
I mean, the guy who had like way more gray hair, you know, at Michigan State in 1994. Like he's like Benjamin Button. So there's two. Who would be the other two? I think another good point here. You talked about recruiting. Another good point would be, you know, what is the, so Texas is this gold mine, obviously, of talent. Everybody recruits Texas, right? LSU, Bama, those schools go heavily, obviously. And, you know, if Texas is in the SEC, What does that do to recruiting? Because that's a huge selling point against Texas right now. Is you want to go to that league, you know, the Big 12 with 10 teams, or do you want to come to the best league in college football?
Right.
Okay, well, now Texas is in the best league in college football.
Probably. That would help.
But again, so
that's Exhibit A of why Texas A&M wants no part of this.
Oh, yeah. No question. But, you know, that's also these are the football people. And then they hear from the presidents and the commissioners what's going to actually happen. And now this is what you're going to do. So A&M is making a real bid here to stop this. But, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that it's real. And just imagine this had carried on and we were weeks from, like, you know, the season's about to start and this is just – and they get this done and they announce it. Yeah. What a bombshell that would be that day. Like, what? Yeah. But now it's going to be – I mean, look, legislators are going to be so involved in this. Think about like, Oklahoma State right now. Are you kidding? Now, there's also, by the way, Dennis Dodd tweeted this yesterday, that Oklahoma has something in the state bylaws that would prevent this from happening, that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State have to be joined at the hip. But I don't think that's true. That's one of the – it's just amazing, all this stuff, you know. Like, we can't get down to the bottom of some of these things, bylaws. Yeah. But legislators, like in Oklahoma, are going to go nuts. Or you cannot – because Oklahoma State – let's think about Kansas, okay? Different, but just think about the one of the elite, all-time great basketball programs.
Right.
What league are they going to be in now?
I don't know.
Stuart Mandel at The Athletic had a –
Big Six.
He just said, just imagine Kansas in the Mountain West. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, this is another example for all of us to remember. I mean, I'm a basketball person. Michelle, you're a basketball person?
Oh, we know I'm a basketball person, Joe.
Basketball basketball means nothing. I mean, really, like in this, makes me punch my mic. I mean, football runs the world.
Yeah.
And here you go again. Because, I mean, look, you've kind of seen, you know, UConn hoops. What has happened with that? It doesn't matter. Football runs the world, is going to run the world here. But this is going to be fascinating because, I mean, think about legislators in Texas. And, of course, you got A&M legislators and you got Texas, you know, alma mater. It's going to be contentious to try to stop this from happening.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Frank texting in. Rexrode just predicted where college football will be in 5 years. Four mega conferences, no NCAA. The NCAA is basically a figurehead organization that the power football conferences just tolerated, but now they know they don't need them. What do you think about that? Four mega conferences in 5 years in college football, years from now.
Yeah, I don't know if it would quite all come together that fast, but it could. It could. It's possible. And, yeah, I mean, I think, well, look, let's remember, like, college football already has kind of, like, the playoff is kind of independent, really. I mean, there's NCAA rules that blanket everyone. And I think deregulation of some sort is we're seeing it happen. Whether it actually, you know, I mean, again, the NCAA is going to exist as an organization for all these schools to get together and say, hey, let's have some championships for various sports, including a very lucrative basketball championship. And there's still going to be rules. I mean, you're still going to have to be, like, eligible. You have to be a college student, I think, to play college sports. I think that's still going to be a rule.
I hope so.
I think Texas is not going to be able to give, like, 200 scholarships. Like, that's still going to be a rule. There's still going to be, you know, there's still things that have to be enforced and all that. But I think that basically what was just laid out there very much could happen. And then the question is, see, I still hope, though, and I think that, you know, there's still access for the group of five. I mean, look, it's already haves, haves, nots. Will this widen the gap? Yes. But I still want a UCF, to a Cincinnati, you know, to have an opportunity to be, if you can put together a really special team in a given year, to get into this 12-team thing. And then we can start talking about maybe if with all this money, someone will stop being an idiot and we can have home games in the playoff. But that's for another day.
Do we think Tennessee becomes one of these teams that could say no to this just by being petty and not wanting another UT in the conference? There's always a big battle between Tennessee and Texas. Who's the real UT?
That's a good point.
Tennessee could shut this down, man.
The UT discussion could really heat up here. I mean, there's no discussion, right? I mean, the Volunteers –
I mean, without –
The Volunteers made it possible that Texas is a state right now, right?
That's correct.
How could this possibly be an argument?
That is what you just said is the argument that every Tennessean throws out there, my friend.
It's true.
It's absolutely true. So that argument is over. Maybe, I just wonder.
Maybe more people will be, you know, become familiar with important history through there's positive side effects too.
Positives all over the place with this. Now this is the time that I've been waiting for all day. It is time, finally, for Garth Brooks karaoke. Garth Brooks with a concert coming up on July 31st at Nissan Stadium, and we have a pair of tickets to give away. If you would like to win those pair of tickets, here's what you've got to do. Call into our phone line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you have to sing. You have to sing a Garth Brooks song. It doesn't have to be 3 minutes long, but you've got to sing a portion of any Garth Brooks song you want to sing, and our favorite singers will win the pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks in concert at Nissan Stadium coming up on July 31st. We'll do that coming up next, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And look, we need your participation. We've got some tickets to give away for Garth Brooks' concert coming up on July 31st at Nissan Stadium. And we've got a pair of tickets, a way to qualify for those pair of tickets. You have to call in at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We have some lines that are open on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Garth Brooks karaoke time. You've got to sing just a little portion of a Garth Brooks song, and our favorite singers will win the pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks in person coming up on July 31st at Nissan Stadium. So get those phone calls coming in at 615-737-1025. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our first caller, Tim from Lewisburg. Tim, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you taking the time to call in. Tim, do you have a Garth Brooks song picked out for you, for us, ready to sing?
Yeah, I'm going to do one of his classes. I'm going to do Friends in Low Places.
All righty. So, Tim, without further ado, Friends in Low Places, I turn it over to you. Give us a little bit of Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks.
All right, here it goes. You ready?
Ready.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, I was the last one I thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes when I took his glass of champagne. I toasted you, said, honey, we may be through, but you'll never hear me complain. 'Cause I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. And I'll be okay. I'm not big on social graces. Think I'll slip on down to the oasis. Oh, I've got friends in low places.
Yes! All right! Well done from Tim there from Lewisburg. Tim, that was outstanding. Very well done.
Good job, Tim.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Tim from Lewisburg, the current leader in the clubhouse. We need more of your calls. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks in action coming up on July 31st at Nissan Stadium.
That was a good job by Tim. If you're listening, you need to, you know, I think you can, you got opportunity to outdo Tim. Tim did a good job.
He did a good job.
It's weird, like, I knew every single lyric he sang there.
I'm really?
Well, yeah. Come on. That song?
Look.
Come on, man.
I know you don't like country music.
Wow.
Great song choice.
Yeah, I mean, that song's been played at 2 a.m. in every bar
in America
for 30 years.
I know.
You know, not to mention every single actual karaoke bar I've ever seen. I'm looking for a deep cut.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you know all the deep cuts,
I know
right?
The deep cuts.
You've got the Garth. Like, give me a deep cut that you'd be impressed by if someone could rip it off.
Probably Ireland by Garth Brooks. That's a good song. Give me a little Ireland. You may win the tickets to begin with. Yeah.
Just even if you choose
that. Just even, yeah.
But, like, but you just gave it away.
I'm just saying. There is. We got more calls rolling in now. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks at Nissan Stadium coming up on July 31st. You have to sing a Garth Brooks song, and our favorite singers will win a pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks coming up on July 31st. Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, just by Friends in Low Places being the first song, he should be eliminated. So, Chris, not a big fan of Friends in Low Places.
Well, look, it's a—I mean, it's a song everyone knows, and he did well. He did a good job. I thought he might like do the whole 3.5 minutes.
Oh, I thought so too. Let's go back to the 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brandon from Lawrenceburg. Brandon, what's going on?
Not much. Carrying my son to take his insurance license exam, and we're listening to you guys and. Thought we'd try to win some Garth Brooks tickets.
Well, we're excited for it. Brandon, what Garth Brooks song would you like to sing?
I think I'm going to take a stab at The Dance.
Oh, The Dance. That's a good one. All right, Brandon, without further ado, I turn it over to you. Let's hear a little of The Dance by Garth Brooks.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared beneath the stars above. For a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now, I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Whoa. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. Go Vols!
Well done, Brandon. We appreciate it. The Dance, nailed by Garth Brooks. Brandon nailing it there on the program. That's a good one. We've had Friends in Low Places. We've had The Dance by Brandon from Lawrenceburg.
I 100% know that song, too.
So you're a big Garth
Apparently
Brooks fan.
Apparently, I didn't realize it.
Joe, we know you secretly like country music. Yeah.
Apparently, maybe I do, huh?
Let's go back.
That's a good song.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Joe from White House. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. Right. Appreciate you taking time to call in today. Joe, which Garth Brooks song would you like to sing?
I think I'm going to give Thunder Rolls a shot.
Alrighty. I like that. Thunder Rolls. I just muted myself. That's the second time today I've done that. Joe?
3 for 3 for me.
Without further ado, I turn things over to you. The Thunder Rolls by Garth Brooks.
3:30 in the morning, not a soul in sight. City's looking like a ghost town on a moonlit summer night. Raindrops on the windshield, this storm moving in. He's headed back from somewhere that he never should have been. And the Thunder Rolls. And the thunder rolls. Raindrops or the thunder rolls. And the lightning strikes. Another love goes cold on a sleepless night. The storm goes on out of control. Deep in her heart, the thunder rolls.
Yeah, all right. Joe from White House bringing it strong. Joe's got some, he's got some chords there, man. That was good.
That, there was a little bit of pipes in there.
A little bit of pipes with Joe from White House.
That's 3 for 3.
That's 3 for 3 that you've known so far. Yeah. All right, we've got time for maybe one more. Hit up our phone line, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Garth Brooks concert coming up on July 31st. Austin on the text line with the crying laughing face. This is Radio Gold. Well, you have enjoyed it, Austin.
Are we picking?
We need to have people singing more often.
Are we picking before the segment ends?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Austin texting in saying, dang, Brandon nailed that. I swear I heard a bald eagle crying. Hold on, I have something in my eye. Talking about Brandon from Lawrenceburg and The Dance. Ending it with Go Vols also.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
You like that. You like that.
I did like that. Nate texting in, is Garth Rex Rhodes' guilty pleasure since he supposedly doesn't like country? Are you a big Garth Brooks supporter?
I mean, look, I don't actively like buy or listen to country music, but like, you know, like my dad listened to Alabama. I like Alabama.
Okay.
So there's a, you know, like there's like old Alabama stuff from the 80s.
Yeah.
I like that. There's plenty of it that I do like. It's not a genre that I go out of my, I seek out. Like I said, I'll go to any country concert, any music.
You're just a big concert guy.
Yes. And Garth Brooks for sure.
Ty on the text line saying, y'all are lucky I'm on vacation that weekend or I would blow y'all away this morning.
Ooh.
That sounds like an empty threat, Ty. If you could sing, you could sing. Get on here and sing.
Hey, Bob just says, having people sing on the air might be one of your worst ideas ever. I think you're damaging your legacy here. Hey, Bob, I think you're, YOU'RE, damaging your legacy here. You need to rewrite that tweet, sir. Bob, why don't you call in and sing? Come on.
Bob feels like he could probably sing. I think Bob could probably sing. Uh-oh. We've got another caller coming in.
We got one more call. This is a Hail Mary here.
This is the last chance here. Let's see what happens here on this call. Right now, Tim from Lewisburg is called in. Brandon from Lawrenceburg is called in. And Joe from White House. Those are our three competitors. A fourth being added to the list at the moment. I believe Randy is calling in. So we'll get to him coming up here in just a few seconds when he is ready. But who would you say the early leader in the clubhouse is? Tim, Brandon, or Joe? They're all pretty good.
Is there a clear leader for you?
There is a clear leader for me.
Well, I actually think I might lean toward Joe. Although he messed up a lyric. But actually, I like how he recovered.
Okay. With that in mind, let's go back to the phone line. Randy from Spring Hill calling in. Randy, how are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to call in. Randy, which Garth Brooks song would you like to sing?
So, I think I'm going to go with The River.
Ooh, that is perhaps my favorite song of all time. Randy?
Oh, great. Now that means I'm going to mess it up now.
No, you'll be fine. I turn the floor over to you, Randy. Randy is going to sing The River by Garth Brooks. Randy, go ahead.
All right. You know a dream is like a river, ever-changing as it flows. And a dreamer is just a vessel that must follow where it goes. Trying to learn from what's beside him, never knowing what's in store, makes each day a constant battle just to stay between the shores. And I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry, like a bird upon the wind. These waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry.
Well done, Randy. That was very good. Well done, Randy. He said he was going to screw it up. He did not. Randy, a very good job on The River by Garth Brooks. All right, so now it's time.
4 for 4.
You knew that one, too.
I mean, come on.
Now's the time to put it to a vote. We've got Tim from Lewisburg singing Friends in No Places. No places. Friends in low places.
I got no friends.
I have friends nowhere. Brandon from Lawrenceburg singing The Dance. Joe in White House, The Thunder Rolls. And Randy from Spring Hill, The River. Michelle, your official vote goes to who?
My official vote goes to Joe because I loved when he forgot the lyrics. And then he was like, oh, no. And then he kept going. So, Joe, you have my vote.
I would also give Joe the edge to the most vocally talented, probably, that we heard. I don't know. All pretty good. All four pretty good. Joe Rexrode, your vote goes to who?
I'm actually switching. It's very close, but I like the enthusiasm with Brandon. I'm going to go with Brandon.
Okay, so we have one vote for Joe, one vote for Brandon. Ryan Porth, do you have a vote in this process?
Whoa.
I'm going to give it to Joe in White House.
Okay.
Because Joe recovered from the stumble, and he was pretty good
with
the singing.
He was. I think I'm going to give it to Joe as well. Joe from White House gets my vote.
He hit a note.
Although I will say, all four of them, much better than I anticipated. I thought this could be really something.
No, they were good.
When they had people calling in.
Joe hit a note where you kind of felt it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
In these,
it was in your soul.
In these very, well, yeah, in these awesome earphones, of course.
That's correct.
But he hit a note there that no one else hit.
That's right.
So
we'll give it to Joe. That's fine. This is like American Idol. Joe from White House, congratulations. You have won a pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks at Nissan Stadium coming up on July 31st. We will be contacting you shortly. So, Joe, congratulations.
Good job, Joe. Good job, everybody.
On the first edition of Garth Brooks Karaoke here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have to have more singing competitions in the future because I enjoyed that thoroughly. That was great.
Yeah, I mean, we could go a lot of ways with this. A lot of different musical artists out there.
When we come back, we will get back into the expansion draft. Cali Yarncrook selected last night by the Seattle Kraken. How do the Predators recover from that loss moving on from here this offseason? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.